You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Score!
It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I got 5 on.
Number 1.
Bears cornerback Tyreek Stevenson's snap counts over the past 4 games are as follows: 33 snaps versus the Browns, 27 against the Packers, 18 at San Francisco, and 0 snaps against the Lions. Thanks to the Tribune's Brad Biggs for totaling up those snap counts in a recent article. So, defensive coordinator Dennis Allen said this to reporters on Wednesday.
There'll be a plan, you know, in place for Tyreek. We'll see how the game plays out. But I think all those guys have to be ready to play.
How many snaps do you think Stevenson will get Saturday against the Packers?
I'm still trying to figure this out. Because this is the quintessential question at this time of year in the National Football League. Who's healthy? How healthy are they? Are they more healthy? Are they more effective being partially healthy than the next guy? And that's the calculus that is constant. We have had to deal with it all season long for the Bears because of Jalen Johnson and the like. So I find it very curious that a healthy Tyreek Stevenson was not a factor in the game against the Lions on purpose. Like, it's one thing if he wasn't a factor because he's out there, but on purpose? That's what makes this so confusing. And, like, there's a quote from Jace Leisure. Dennis Allen says Tyreek Stevenson can still be a factor. What the hell happened behind the scenes here? Is that the question that you're led to believe? Because healthy bodies, especially ones who are vets on your team, who are of the current regime, you'd think would be part of this, right?
Well, my question is this, and this is how I answer the question of like how many snaps he'll actually get this week. How many interceptions has Tyreek Stevenson had this year?
One.
He has forced a couple of fumbles and recovered a couple of fumbles, but I don't think Tyreek Stevenson was ever going to be above Jalen Johnson on the depth chart.
No, and I think now it's him versus Nashawn Wright.
And Nashawn Wright generates turnovers. They're both lacking in coverage. Neither one of them is all pro or a pro bowler. Probably not even a pro bowl alternate. And that's one of those guys led the league in takeaways.
Yeah.
So if you got the guy who led the league in takeaways and you know your defense is leaky at best, you got to go with the guy who at least gives you a chance on a 50-50 ball.
Well, in Friend of the Score, Caitlin Sharkey had this quote as well around the same time yesterday. Dennis Allen on Tyreek's low snap count. I think when the season started, none of us thought Nashawn Wright would be playing the way he has. Part of his playing the hot hand. And wasn't that an actual discussion point among the coaching staff? And the players said that they were told that once Jalen Johnson became healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
So they're following their message there.
To answer the question about how many snaps, I could see him getting 10 snaps. I could see certain packages, whatever. Somebody needs a blow, however you want to put it. Because you got to have your guys, knowing the way the Bears play, got to have your guys at full strength in the fourth quarter. Because that's how it feels like this game, like most Bears-Packers games. Take Ben Johnson out of the equation. Most Bears-Packers game, they come down to the fourth quarter.
Well, empty the clip in the playbook, right?
Yes.
Both if you're the offensive play caller and if you're the defensive caller. So go ahead, throw it all out there. Please don't do as many fake blitzes because Jordan Love is going to check down on those even when they're real. Like, he's going to find the open man. That's all I ask. I love an unhinged blitz out of the secondary. I love an unhinged safety blitz. I love an unhinged corner blitz. I love a double safety blitz. But I don't know that Saturday is the time to do it.
You know what I love? Four-man pressure. Let's see if we get some.
You know the answer
number
to that.
Two.
I don't.
The Packers are out here talking trash. Here's what Green Bay quarterback Keysawn Nixon told reporters on Wednesday.
I didn't want nobody else. I want the Bears. I just, you know, however it felt, it was going to fall. If you had to go to Philly, it was going to Philly. But I'd rather play the Bears first. I need to get back. That's just what it is.
Packers cornerback Keyshawn Nixon. Should the Bears sound more like the Packers do when discussing Saturday's wild card game?
No, because the Bears don't have to go anywhere. They were going to have to go on the road regardless. And I will say, I expected them to be much more comfortable at Soldier Field, which they've shown us in the past, not just this year, but in matchups past for everybody on that Green Bay roster who's been a part of the Bears-Packers series for years now, including Jordan Love. Going to see the reigning Super Bowl champs as they're fully rested and fully healthy, 21 of 22 starters available right now from day one to now for the Eagles, that sounds like a very bad proposition for the Packers because that defense is real.
Does Nick Sirianni just flip double birds or something to anybody? Really? Is this the only way to match the Philly energy with more Philly energy?
Listen,
Do you just go there?
I know Nick Sirianni and them wish they could see the Packers this week instead of the 49ers. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, don't face the NFC West. You're going to have to. Just put it off.
They're going to be probably unavoidable unless, I don't know, Carolina goes on a run.
If Carolina goes on a run, I will 100% decide that the NFL has been scripted.
I don't think that's the way the NFL wants it to be scripted.
Somebody's scripting it. I do believe that a little too much at times. And it really comes down to one game in the 2018 playoffs, actually. It was Saints and Rams, because we all know that that was pass interference, and the Saints should have been the ones going to the Super Bowl instead. Don't you tell me that that wasn't pass interference. They're like, oh, we have to do something about this. Let's start making pass interference reviewable. Oh, we can't do it. Weaponized incompetence.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 to the Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Mark Grody will join us at 12:25 with a Bears report live from Hallis Hall. Here's question number three. Score baseball insider Bruce Levine told us Wednesday that the Cubs have had discussions with both agents for shortstop Bo Bichette and third baseman Alex Bregman, respectively. The Cubs are also reportedly interested in outfielder Cody Bellinger, old friend there. If you had the chance to give President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer advice on which free agent to target, who would it be?
Get the get back, Jed Hoyer. Go get Alex Bregman like you were supposed to have done. I don't know who's playing in right field right now. But I know that from an offensive standpoint, perhaps the most consistent bat you could ask for out of who's left. I mean, when I first read this question, you know what I really thought? Kyle Tucker. But I just don't know that that's even an option.
But if it was an option?
I would want a healthy Kyle Tucker for the entire season, and that hasn't happened in the past two seasons. So I don't even know that that's a thing. Like, that's the hard part about this, is how much were you burned by that? And by you, I mean anybody listening, Jed Hoyer, the Cubs, because I feel like I was burned by that. So it's affecting me as far as to who I want playing for the team. And thusly, I think probably sacrificing offense. But you already decided to sacrifice offense yet again anyway. So somebody better be coming through that door.
I like the idea a Bo Bichette and having a situation where Matt Shaw doesn't have to play all the time. And you've got some super utility type stuff with the mobility of not just Bo Bichette himself, but also we know Nico Horner can play multiple positions. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, if you get Bo Bichette, they got to trade away Nico Horner. You don't have to do that. Okay.
Why do you have to trade away the better player? Like, why do you have to trade away Nico?
No, that's a good point.
Not better than Bo Bichette.
No, but better than Matt Shaw. I got you. The cheaper, because he's cheaper.
It's fewer years of control.
They want to keep the cheap guy that they have control over. Listen, for me, it's Kyle Tucker, but if we take him off the table because he's not available, it's Bo Bichette. But also, Bo Bichette will be 28 next year. Alex Bregman's in his 30s. It's Cody Bellinger. And then I'll take any of the four, to be honest. I'll be like, hey, sir, here's my advice. Get one of these guys and add them to your lineup this year without subtracting anyone else that could be a force.
Yeah, the question, why not both, should be asked more often.
Yeah, I think that's where we are right now. And there's a growing belief within me. Now, tell me if this is foolish of me, but a growing belief that they will not come in second somehow, some way to one of these guys. They'll just get one of them.
I think it's the pressure and knowing that they have to. They have to sign one of these.
Why do they have to?
Because they don't have enough offense.
That's not what Jed Hoyer told me.
Well, Jed Hoyer also gave Shota Imanaga a raise. So they thought that they were probably going to get somebody else to bite on that and that they were going to get a pick in exchange, and it didn't happen.
Fair.
And that sits with me.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Number four.
The Bulls lost to the Pistons on Wednesday. Here's how it sounded on 670 The Score on the Bulls Radio Network.
And this ball game is over. Pistons win it 108-93. In one word, Bill, how would you describe this game?
A sloppy.
Bulls Radio Network analyst Bill Wennington describing the Bulls' performance as sloppy. What singular word would you use to describe how the Bulls looked in that loss to Detroit?
They flatlined. They kept it close. It was a good game at the half. It was a good game through three quarters. And then they had yet another quarter in a game where they scored fewer than 20 points. They scored 16. And I don't necessarily know if it's effort-based. I don't know if you can say they ran out of gas. A couple of the people who are part of the engine weren't playing. You know, Kobe White's out, obviously. And we know Josh Giddey won't be reevaluated now for at least, a week and a half. But either way, this thing was only going to work if everybody was healthy and together. So they flatlined.
My one word would be undermanned. And here's why last night's loss was more concerning than previous losses. As you said, Layla, through three quarters, they were right there. They were up a point going into the fourth quarter. And you're thinking, okay, I get it. Lachlan Ulbrich, by the way, has played in 7 games this year.
Lachlan Ulbrich made our text thread.
Well, I dropped this nugget. The Bulls are now 0-7 when Lachlan Ulbrich takes the court.
Whew.
Keep him in the G League, please. He's not helping. You're out of bigs. I get it. Waiting for Jalen Smith to come back from concussion protocol, but you need to do that. Here's what was so concerning about last night. Two things. One, not only did they get held to under 20 points, as you said, doubled up in the fourth quarter, 32-16. It's the fact that the Pistons bench scored 20 points in the fourth quarter.
We were joking about B-Ball Paul having a career night the last time these two teams met. Well, who had it last night?
Chaz Lanier did not play in the first three quarters of that game and ended up with 8 points all in the fourth quarter. Oh, do you remember Javonte Green? I heard there's 5 of them out there.
Oh, yeah, that happened last night. There were some Javonte moments.
He had 7 points in the fourth quarter. And here's why I say last night was such a disappointment. Yes, they were undermanned, and yes, Lachlan Ulbrich was out there. But here's the thing. If you're playing a team, and I know they're the best team in the Eastern Conference so far with a 29-8 record. Or excuse me, 28-9 record.
Javonte had 4 steals.
Yes.
Only one Javonte didn't get a steal.
Yes.
Aw, fifth Javonte.
The Pistons are 28-9 this season atop the East standings. The Bulls should have won that game. Mainly because, I don't know, Cade Cunningham, their leading scorer, didn't play.
No, but I
Jalen Duren, their second leading scorer, didn't play. Tobias Harris, their third leading scorer, didn't play.
Isaiah Stewart was the Piston with the career night last night. 14. First it was B-Ball Paul, then it was Isaiah Stewart.
Career high 31 points on 14 of 17 shooting. 12 of those 14 field goals that were made, deep in the paint. Nikola Vucevic might as well have had cement blocks on for shoes.
They got outscored badly in the paint.
62 points in the paint they give up.
Yeah, and didn't they only have like 40 some odd? Yeah, 48. So they got outscored badly in the paint.
But that's why last night was particularly disappointing.
Number 5.
Before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in Saturday from 4 to 6:45 p.m. for the pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the wild card matchup. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Timber Tech Decking and Railing post-game show. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. This is 5 on It. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Mark Grody will be along just up next, 1225 from Hallis Hall. Here's a little surprise bonus question that Layla and Marshall weren't privy to, but here's our mystery question. Are you participating in Dry January? Because I am. And the real question is, how many Dry January participants will still be holding on strong if the Bears-Packers game doesn't go Chicago's way? It's going to be hard for me, I'll tell you that.
So I will go weeks without drinking just by happenstance. And then I'll forget that I went weeks without drinking. Then after three drinks, I'm like, whee! And I don't remember anything.
How's that go again?
Whee! So I don't do it because I don't drink a lot anyway. And I will make a drink last. So I don't participate in Dry January because I just don't drink a lot to begin with. Like, if I cut out alcohol, it's not making a big difference in my caloric intake overall. You know what I mean? So no. And I'm not drinking the night that we watch the Packers game anyway, because we'll be working. You gotta take notes and stuff. So
you handle it all responsibly, as every ad you've ever heard tells you to do.
No, I mean, not always, let's be honest. Like I just said, three drinks and I'm done. Well, it doesn't necessarily matter the time frame. But when it comes to how many Bears fans will be participating in Dry January, the better question is, did they already decide to stop it before the game because they want to watch it somewhere? A Saturday night again? After what happened the last time? Where I was with a bunch of my friends and we were in a daze because we had no idea what was going on. And I had a glass of wine and then later I had a sugar-free Red Bull. So I don't know. I just don't think that Dry January has much of a chance here in Chicago. It might be like Dry 4th of the month. You know what I mean?
What's funny about this is I was at the last Bears-Packers game and I did not drink. So, and just like you said, Layla, I can go months without drinking. I don't need to drink. I keep no alcohol in the house since the pandemic.
I have it for entertaining and stuff.
I don't entertain.
Why are you so confident about that?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, I guess I could go get some alcohol if I was entertaining, but I can't tell you the last time I entertained.
I have a champagne bottle because Remy Martin does champagne now, and I'm like really excited. It's not branded as Remy, it's part of their group, and I'm like really excited to chill it and host later.
But to answer your Dry January question for Bears fans, I think win or lose, there's going to be more people breaking the Dry January. If you win, you want to celebrate with your friends. Most people will be out for this game. It's a Saturday night. It's not, what do we call the last one, the biggest holiday party in Chicago? This, you know, it's post-holiday, but the vibes are real right now. This is the biggest game they've played in 15 years. This is a big contest. It's the Packers. If it was against the Rams or if it was against another one of these teams, the Niners, different. But it's the Packers. You can't ignore that. So people will be drinking and they'll be talking smack, and I love it. I'm here for all of it, but I will be at home on the couch watching two games at once because I need to see. Modest watch continues.
I love
Cooper
this.
Flag in the building.
I love this text from 815. The Bears are the reason I need a Dry January to give my liver a break.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
I'll say this, since you mentioned the simultaneous Bears and Bulls game. Adam Amin yesterday on the CHSN broadcast mentioned, or Casey Johnson as well, mentioned how Ayo Dosunmu not happy that he can't watch his Bears because he's going to be playing in his own professional game.
Oh, that was hilarious. When he Marshall claims he's 100%.
I never said I was 100%. I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm like, are you getting sick? I accidentally said Justin Fields when he sneezed into his shirt.
Did Justin Fields sneeze into his shirt?
You. Oh. Marshall was the original antecedent here.
I'm confused.
It's 779. I think I'm doing Dry January wrong. You're not supposed to drink the bar dry? Yeah, I don't know. I don't participate in it, and I'm okay with it. So, great for those who do. But I'll still have my social sparkler every now and then.
I'm squarely in it, and we're going to see. We're going to see if I can stand the test of this weekend.